It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland on the Sound Mind broadcast here this week, talking about subject I think Daniel has dealt with in the past, but we're going to expand it a little bit this week. We're talking about the inbox.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, good morning, good afternoon, Daniel Pryor.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mark.
Life coach and counselor. Yeah, avoiding emotional overwhelm. That's what you mean by... So that inbox, just like we think of email or our mailbox, it can get packed out.
Yeah, I'm in my imagery, I kind of think of an actual... is inbox sitting on someone's desk, probably mine at home, that's just cascading. It's not really, it looks more like a pile, but underneath that is actually an inbox with shelves. And so, and I say to people, this is one of the things that we talk about, and we're talking about anxiety and depression and how it comes about. Or it's also part of the addiction cycle. At least the way that I've drawn up the addiction cycle, it begins with anxiety and depression, and that drives boredom, and that drives the need for a fantasy, and the fantasy, if we act out on the fantasy, that creates more anxiety and depression. So it's a cycle that gains power every time it goes around. Then they tell you in any recovery program, if you're going to get out of this addiction, you have to reverse the cycle. So you cut off all the avenues of behavior so that you can't actually follow through. Now you're back at
the
fantasy.
Get rid of the bottles.
Right. Yeah, now you're back at the fantasy. And if you don't act out on the fantasy, it will begin to blur, you know, and then you don't have the fantasy. Now you're back to boredom. So at that point, people will typically find another fantasy. But what they should do is just keep going back around the cycle, back to the anxiety, depression, find out, you know, what's driving the addiction. And the anxiety and depression is all the stuff in the inbox. And so... the inbox needs to be developed, it's got to be managed on a daily basis. I have down here, out of it are the issues of life. Hmm. So that reminds us of a scripture, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I've kind of paraphrased that sometimes for people and said, manage your inbox with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it's kind of the same thing.
Well, I feel like when I think of the inbox, the email, I come back from a week on vacation, and I've got 500 unread messages, and I go, boy, so I feel overwhelmed.
Some of them are from me, probably.
But you also refer to this, I think this is an interesting analogy, the emotional root ball.
Yeah, I talk about that. So the emotional root ball, and the reason I call it that, people know what a root ball is, and it's you know, the roots are all in a ball. It's the emotional root ball is there are a lot of emotions that are in a ball, and rather than try to deal with one or another, because you find that you can't deal with one or another because they're all tangled up together. And so what I refer to the emotional root ball is anxiety and depression, which are types of anger, and which are responses to fear and shame. So the root ball is fear, shame, anxiety, depression, anger. And you find that you can't really talk about one of those without implying the other four. So that's why I call it. So when people come in, they will identify something, depression, anxiety, maybe fear, shame. Typically, they kind of focus on the anxiety, depression, anger. But what underlies that is the fear and shame. So that's the root ball. And that's really what is coming out of this, the inbox. So I was talking to a person the other day, and he was talking about how that he just almost has like a weekly pattern where a certain day out of the week, for no reason at all, this darkness comes over him and this depression comes over him. And he's not sure where it
comes
from.
On a certain day of the week.
Yeah. Like could be...
Monday.
Could be Monday. Yeah, Monday.
Right.
A Monday. And so where is that coming from? Well, it's coming from out of the inbox. Now the idea is to go back and figure out what it is. So what's in the inbox are things that generate anxiety and depression. As we've talked before, anxiety, depression based on fear and shame. Now, fear, what is fear about? And we've talked about fear ultimately has to do with our mortality, but we don't go around thinking about mortality. But we do go around thinking about three other things that are sort of sacramental or of that mortality, immortality issue. We'd all like to be immortal, but we know that we can't. But we can have value, control, and power. And so that's what we're pursuing in lieu of immortality. We're pursuing a sense of value, control, and power. Even when we come to Christ, it's a reach for value, control, and power, because that's where we find our value in Christ. We find a sense of we're not in control, but He's in control.
Now finally, I can let go because He's in control.
And power or resources. But so we're always reaching for value, control, and power. That defines all of our behaviors, the things we buy, the vocations we choose, the friendships we choose. Just about there's nothing you can do that doesn't have something to do with being value, control, and power. The inbox generates anxiety, depression, fear, shame, anger, because it questions your sense of value, control, and power. That's why you're bothered, because you don't feel there's something in that inbox that you're not in control of. It questions your value. It questions your power.
And this can build up if you don't do the daily management.
It has to be a daily management. Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things are in there? So we can give some examples of, first of all, I've got some examples of what I'm calling latent stressors, or the sleeping lion. I was going to call it the sleeping dog, but people like dogs so much. Like, I wanted something to scare them. So
I like lions too, and tigers.
You'll have to think of something then. The sleeping cobra, or
right? Oh yeah, there you go.
So something here. These are things that are just in the inbox, and we're probably not likely to ever identify them unless we actually go on kind of a fact finding or a hunting expedition and looking for what's in the inbox. It's bothering me. That's one of the things I help people do in counseling is to try to get them to understand that they can actually follow the depression or the anxiety back to its home. It's a mental thing. Mm. But you can actually, when you feel the depression, you can actually pursue it, and you can actually start thinking about this topic, that topic, and it will either be more or less. So you want to. Mm-hmm. You want it to be more and more. So, because that's the way you're tracing it back to your home. And sometimes mm-hmm. What's actually generating it can be really surprising. Could be things like family of origin issues. I was talking to a person the other day who had something from the root ball, the anxiety, depression, the anger, the fear, the shame. We just started talking about his family of origin, and lots of things started coming out, and he began to get just anxious and depressed there in the session. And I said, I think we're talking about some of the things that are actually going to be labeled in the inbox. So it could be family of origin, could be childhood abuse or trauma, could be disappointments in life, loss. And these would be things that have been there for a long time, things that happened to you when you were young or in some time in the past. There's also there are also current stressors in that inbox. Could be financial pressures, could be pressure on the job, either at the job or the fear of losing the job or the fear of not getting a job. There could be family concerns, immediate family concerns or extended family concerns. I have known of people who have had a sense of anxiety that was traced back to guilt, you know, and that guilt had to do with the fact that they had made choices in life that positioned them much better off than their siblings. Mm. And they were actually feeling guilt that their siblings were going through all, you know, difficulty, mm-hmm. and they weren't.
Right.
So had they not traced that back, they would continue to experience that anxiety over that, never realizing that.
That's kind of a false guilt.
Yeah, it's not like a false mm-hmm. guilt. So immediate or extended health issues. A lot of this is sometimes people just getting older question, you know, they don't question their mortality, but they're faced with their mortality. You know, I can't believe how fast time goes by.
Oh,
it's just, poof, you know.
Speeding up.
So, tasks and projects. That's another one that could almost be in a honey-do list or file or something where there's, so slowing down a bit now. We don't have to mow the lawn twice every week, but there are other things that need to be done, and so those could all go in tasks and projects. World events.
Well, certainly
current events,
the political season we're coming, yeah, we're going through.
Yeah. That can generate a lot of anxiety and depression for people and fear.
Well, I think not just political, but just, yeah, just catastrophes, terrorism. It's just pumped into our living rooms to the television set nonstop. Yeah. And it's very much an anxiety.
The
producer.
Quality of food. I mean, that comes up from time to time. Did you realize you're eating things that are, you know, so it's just you can, there's a lot of the stuff that's in there. Concerns over, you know, some parents right now are concerned about the performance of their kids in school and the health of their kids in school and how to help them better. Or can they, you know, maybe the child isn't doing well, and that's bringing up all kinds of issues for parents. And life purpose concerns, as we've talked in a previous show about needing to have some kind of direction in life, for could be marital concerns, could be spiritual meaning, you know, finding a church and those kinds of things we talked about last week. So all those things are in the inbox, and they're all generating anxiety and depression. As you can see, that's a type of anger. And those all have to do with, again, value, control, and power. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're generating anxiety, depression, and anger, is because I don't have value, I don't have control, I don't have power in those areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting discussion. Is your inbox getting overwhelmed? Do you maybe need some help? I know one of the things that Daniel really does well is, a lot of this sounds like life coaching as well, getting goals set, managing that daily inbox better. Those are just practical skills that you can learn. I think also the whole area of the family of origin, it helps to have somebody guide you through these kinds of exercises. And Daniel would love to be that person for you. If people need help, Daniel, how do they get in touch with you?
I can be contacted through the through phone at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. And also, people email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And these shows are all podcasted there.
All podcasts.
As well.
You can listen to all of his previous broadcasts. We will be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And Mark Holland along with Daniel today on the Sound Mind broadcast, looking at the inbox, avoiding emotional overwhelm. You feel like your inbox is stuffed to the brim and you need some help kind of sorting that out. That's kind of what we're talking about this week. Daniel, just to start things off here in the second part of our broadcast, something fresh off the press for me, and I get a little coaching from you, is some loss in my family. I recently lost my father, 84 years old, and he was in decline, so it wasn't too big of a surprise, but still it's tough to lose a parent. And so I'm coming to you. My normal modus operandi is just to keep busy and keep working. And but I know there's something there. What would you tell me as a person trying to manage that big thing in my inbox, how to manage and how to get through a time of grief?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and grief is one of those things that, we're all grieving something almost all of the time. In the show, we're also talking about the reach for value, control, and power. And so grief involves loss, loss of a loved one. But it also questions value, control, and power in certain ways. Obviously, the loss of a loved one is something that I had no control over. There's nothing I can do about it. And so there's the question of that. We don't like situations where we have no control over it, because it brings us close to mortality. Now, as Christians, we know that the life we're living here is not is not the whole game. It's just a.
Yeah. I don't know how people who are not Christians can deal with these things. Yeah. I mean, that's still the underlying bedrock. I feel lifting me up even when it's going on. Mm-hmm. This is not the end. Mm-hmm. You're just going
the
on.
The beginning. Yeah.
It's the beginning of eternity. Mm-hmm. And there's just a great comfort in my spirit about that.
Yeah. And knowing that although there's a song that said, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And even though people don't come back from heaven with photographs, we know that God is good and that whatever awaits us in eternity is something that's wonderful and something because it's comes from the nature of a caring, loving God.
I think the main thing I'm thinking about is we're going to see him again someday, but the sense of I miss this person.
Mm-hmm,
somebody I used to pretty close to my dad. Yeah. Really good friends. We'd always go watch the football game every Sunday. So there's this sense of loss on that level. Mm-hmm. So how do I get through some of that?
Yeah, and just recognizing that it's an onward process. Now there somebody's put together 7 or something stages of grief, and I have not jumped on that train. You can look at those stages of grief, and you can sort of there's some truth to that. But the thing about grief is just to recognize that it's an ongoing process, because what grief is about is really answering the question, what did I lose and what do I get to keep? And there are different ways that you can phrase the same question. Who am I now? Where's my life now? How does this change things? But it's basically, what did I lose and what do I get to keep? And the answer to that question is not a static answer. It's a flowing answer, because every day it will change.
Yeah.
When you are experiencing some other difficulty that's related or even unrelated, you could ask yourself that question, and you might feel that I lost a lot and I don't get to keep very much. But another day will come when you're focusing on the joy of the Lord, the joy of your family, the joy of your job, and you'll ask yourself, what did I lose and what do I get to keep? And the answer will look different. You know, you can focus back on what a blessing it was to have that person here and to be a part of that person's earthly life, and what I learned, what I take on from that. You know, my father died probably now it's been 5 years ago or so, and I'm still able to look back and learn things from him, things that he said, things that he had said that weren't meaningful to me then,
sure,
but they are now. So I still get to keep things.
Sure,
I still get to take things with me. But
the
thing about the inbox is that then for you is in the inbox, and so it comes to the top. And it generates some anxiety. And so you identify it and you say, what's going on? And you say, oh, I'm thinking about my dad, thinking about that loss.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is, well, what can I do about that? And then we're answering that somewhat now, you know, just to recognize that, you know, what did I lose, but what do I get to keep? And then you kind of come to peace with that, and then it goes back to the bottom of the inbox.
Mm. Okay.
But it'll come back up.
It's right at the top right now.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, no, that's helpful, though. But again, this sense of God loved my dad more than any of us did.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's tough to, you know, we were actually in the emergency room and saw him pass away. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, but there's a finality to that. You know, well, he is definitely gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now what are we going to do? And I remember telling him when they brought him back from, he had a heart attack, and they brought him back for a little bit. And I just whispered into his ear, you know, I love you, Dad. It's okay to go. It's okay to go. It's okay to go be with your brother and sister and mom and dad. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for you. And boy, he finally let go just like a couple of minutes after us saying things like that.
It's interesting how important that can be for people.
Yeah. So I think we made our peace there, and we feel like he's in a better place. And those kinds of thoughts will console me. And I know that that will be something that's going to console me, is because I've had so many conversations. My dad was pretty bright guy, kind of a philosopher. And you're right. I think I will, as the days go on, remember things he said. Oh, I didn't understand that then, but I do now, you know. So that brings some solace.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good example of what we do with the inbox. Is first of all, first thing you have to do, obviously, is you have to identify the issues in the inbox, and that can take some time. Now for you, this one's right on the top, and you know exactly what it is. But there will come a time in the future where it will generate some anxiety, some depression, and you won't know that that's what's generating it unless you stop and contemplate and you sort of follow the pain back, and then it'll take you back. Oh, it's dad again. Mm. I'm thinking about that's what's generating it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems a little bit counterintuitive, but that's what happens. And I've experienced it myself personally, where I've even been woken up in the middle of the night with just deep anxiety and not had any idea what it was. And it's only been through praying for a long period of time that I finally identified. And it wasn't praying and asking what's got me anxious, but I was just praying because I couldn't think of anything else to do, and wound up just kind of by gosh and by golly praying in a certain direction, and that turned out to be the thing that was generating the anxiety. It was nothing I would have ever thought of.
Well, you say here too, we've heard this term before, you got to turn it over to Jesus.
Yeah, when we've labeled the inbox. And so what I tell people is, if I'm working with a client that's got, just a chronic condition of depression and anxiety or bipolar or something like that, and we're sort of identifying, and so what we want to find in the inbox is we want to have, like, maybe not a ton, but maybe 3 to 5 labels. Because if you have 100 labels, you're not going to be better off leaving the office than you were when you came. So you want to simplify it down to just a few. And those few will represent everything that I can think of that actually generates the anxiety and depression. So now I've got just kind of a quick tickle file. And when something comes on, I can go through that list. And it's going to be one of those.
Well, what do you mean by so what would some of those labels be?
Well, so for myself, I can tell you that one of the things I identified years ago was my need to write. Now, I have a passion to write, and I do write. But I also had a goal of writing. And if I'm not pursuing that goal, that actually generates some anxiety. Because do I have value? Do I have control? Do I have power? It questions all those things.
These are personal labels. This isn't a general
idea. Yeah, right. I what I tell people is when you read the label, you should feel the pain. So another one would be, for a lot of people, would be relationships with our children. Our daughter's up, she's gone, she's in her own family. We still have concerns about her, and sometimes I wonder if she's on the right track, and that can actually be in my inbox generating anxiety, and I don't even realize it until I stop and look at where's the anxiety coming from, and then I'm concerned about that. Now, after we label those, the next question is, what do I do about it?
Mm-hmm.
So now I know, okay, it's my dad. I'm grieving my dad still. And again, or I might be thinking, I'm concerned about my daughter. Well, what do you do about it? That's the next one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is this cliche that we Christians have, turn it over to Jesus. And that needs to have some feet put on it because there's some truth to it, but it really is just a cliche. And I've actually had people come and say, I know I'm supposed to turn it over to Jesus, but I've done that and still
hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, turning it over to Jesus, if we think through this logically, I don't think that, there's a scripture that says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Now, this was written by a man who had a death sentence on him. All of the disciples were on their way to martyrdom.
Yeah.
And a lot of their writing came when they knew about it. They were in prison. So they're not saying, that flat tire, just turn that over to Jesus and he'll make it okay. They had real
problems.
Casting all your cares. Uh-huh. They had real problems. They were life and death things.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have control over those things. Only God had control over those things. So they were sort of...
You have to really understand that.
Yeah,
God is in control.
Yeah.
A real sense of God's control.
In our situations, there are a lot of things that we have control over, and turning it over to Jesus does not preclude my doing all that I can do.
Yeah, and your last point here, you say you can't do everything, but you must do something.
This is something that people just need to understand, that we can limit that anxiety and depression. Once we've got that box labeled and we found out for each one of those, this is what I do about each one of those. Sometimes it's pray. Sometimes it's get out there and mow the lawn. Sometimes it's, process through whatever we do that actually works, and that becomes our routine. Then we have to realize that I can't do everything, but I must do something. I've got to do something about something in the inbox. I can't do everything, but I have to do something about something in the inbox to generate a sense of value, control, and power, and to keep managing it on a daily basis. So every day, you know, that should be something that we say, I have to do something about. And if we're doing that, if we're doing something every day to manage that, then we're not, it's not going to get to a place of overwhelm. Mm. A simple illustration I'll leave people with, and it's the mixing bowl illustration. You know? So you have mixing bowls. Maybe there are eight of them or however many there. You put them under the faucet. The small one fills up. Then the next. Pretty soon, you know, before long, they're all filled up and overflowing. So that's your emotional overwhelm. And the narrative is everything's out of control. But the reality is everything isn't out of control. If you take those bowls apart, only the center one is full and all the rest of them are almost empty. Hmm. So what you really have to concentrate on is what's the full bowl? What's the one that's spilling into everything else? That's the only one that I really have to do anything about right now. So you can't do everything, but you must do something.
Well, something you might want to do as you're listening to this broadcast today is realize you need someone to help you with this, help you identify what that big bowl is in your life that needs to be addressed. Daniel specializes is in anger and anxiety issues, helping people with those, life management. If people need help, Daniel, how do they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can call at 425-778-6169. And also people email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay. Always great information on the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.